Well, it was wonderful to see Pastor Mike here this morning. It was a little disheartening as I came up to the stage to pray, however, as even after what he's been through, he seemed to spring up those stairs better than I did. And so it's wonderful to see him in great health, and then I thought, well, I better do something about that. But continue to pray for Pastor Mike in the coming months. It's been wonderful to see God's hand upon him. And continue to lift him and Deb up in prayer. We're excited to see the benefits of what's happened. We are on our last sermon that pertains to the cluster of Proverbs that we've looked at in Ecclesiastes 4. The sermon series, Stronger Together, will continue for several more weeks. We have other sort of standalone sermons that we think fit under the idea of Stronger Together. You heard about the baptism service that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I think it's a great indication of being stronger together and how that plays itself out in the life of a Christian. And Thanksgiving weekend and so on and so forth. There'll be some other Stronger Together sermons. But this is the last sermon where we're looking at that section of Scripture in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And what we're talking about this morning is a culmination of all the things we've talked about thus far. So we talked about the secure life and the contented life and the comforted life. This morning we want to talk about the Christian life. We want to bring it all to summation, bring it all to a head, and discuss what that means. So if you have your Bibles here, let's open to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and read one more time this cluster of Proverbs from verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Throughout this series on these Proverbs, we've discussed the fact that really we're treating the Proverbs as prompts not for further discussion or thinking necessarily, but prompts to look into God's Word for what He says about being stronger together. And so we took a proverb that had perhaps an application of wisdom for the time in which it took place, but we used that as an opportunity to look into Scripture and say, what is God saying about strength and togetherness in his Scripture that we can apply? And this morning's no different. This morning we are going to focus on the last phrase of those verses. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12b. A small phrase that finishes off the Proverbs. It says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, I believe what the writer of Ecclesiastes was intending here is after talking about the benefits of two over one, he's giving us an indication that two is better than one, but three is probably better than two. And if we could have a rope with four cords, that would be even stronger. And if it had five or six, stronger still. And so he's emphasizing the fact that togetherness is a powerful thing, is a good thing, is a wise thing. I think that's what he's talking about. We are going to use, however, that phrase to talk about really what, in my mind, as I prepared these sermons, was the main ingredient of a strong rope. And so we have a twofold cord, a rope with me and you, or with two people who come together and offer each other comfort and protection and safety. But a third person coming in and being part of that rope made it very difficult to break. And I don't think the writer of Ecclesiastes was thinking that that third part of the rope was Christ, but we're going to use it, as I said, as a prompt to look into Scripture, to what Scripture says, particularly about us being stronger together and what that means in regards to Christ. And so we'll use that to talk about it. So the idea we want to talk about this morning, as we finish off this series out of Ecclesiastes, is that we are only stronger together in God. We are only stronger together in God. And so the in God, even as you can see on the PowerPoint there, is in bold. This is not from day one, we've discussed this. This is not about us coming together and in our own strength being stronger. This is not about mustering enough people so that we're a force to be reckoned with. The foundation all along, and I hope that's been made clear, is God. It's who He is. It's what He's done. And that as we come together, we will find strength, but it will be because of Him. And so this morning, that is where we head. As I thought about this, it occurred to me that in Ephesians, Paul gives a prayer for the church in Ephesus. He gives a prayer for their strengthening together. And I thought that's where we would visit this morning. Paul sees a group of people who worshiped together, who lived together, who socialized together, who did life together, much like we do here at West London Alliance. And his heart was compelled to pray for them, to pray for the strengthening. And I think that would be a great place for us to go this morning. And so we go to Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19, where Paul gives us his prayer for the church in Ephesus, a prayer for strength and togetherness. Starting off in verse 14, he writes, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And so Paul had a prayer for a church. He had a prayer for a meeting of local Christians who gathered together for worship and lived their lives together. He had a prayer for them. He had a prayer for their strengthening. And so let's look at this idea of being stronger together. And let's follow the ideas Paul shares with us and see how it's only in God that we are made stronger together. Let's talk about, to start with, this strength. What is this strength that we're after? What is Paul praying for when he says, "I'll pray that you be strengthened"? Right? What are we, over the course of this sermon series, and hopefully in our church life, what are we seeking? What is the strength we are seeking? So we are stronger in what way? The way in which we are stronger is internally. This is an internal strength. It's a strength of mind and a strength of heart. That's what Paul is praying for. He is not praying for the strength of the physical body. That's not where he's going with this. He wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And so he recognizes that the training of your outer body, your outer self, has some value. But he indicates there's something superior, and that's the strength and the training of the inner person. He says, your training of this body won't last, but if you train the inner person, it will last forever. And I've learned this firsthand. Quite a few years ago, I've been out of football for 5 years, but 15, 20 years before that, I would work out 4 or 5 times a week, and I was a big, strong man. I could lift a lot of weight. I was powerful. I made my living beating on other human beings. It's what I did. Look at me now. I've got the big part still, but there's not a lot of strength left. Because when I was done playing football, I stopped lifting weights. And when you stop, it leaves. And even if I didn't stop, eventually age would catch up to me, and that strength would slowly leave me. And Paul's saying, that's not the strength I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being strong in the body, even though it has some value. He says, I'm talking about being strong on the inside. He's talking about strength in the inner being, strength of the heart and the soul and the mind and the spirit. Okay? And this plays itself out in several ways in the prayer. He says, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. All right? Faith is something that's on the inside. It's part of who we are as a person. It's a faculty of the soul and the spirit and the inner being. And Paul says, that's where I want you to be strengthened. That's where I want you to increase in a powerful way. That's where I want to see you strengthened, and that's what I pray for. So not for your body, but for inside, for faith. Now, he was writing to a group of Christians. And so this isn't faith to first put your faith in Christ. Right? This is a building of their faith. Right? He's writing to people who have already put faith in Christ. But he says, I want to see that strengthened. I want to see Christ's residence in your life to be fortified and to be strengthened, and you to be strengthened in the inner person. That's what I'm looking for. And so I ask you, how is your faith this morning? Are you feeling strong in faith this morning? Are you feeling fortified on the inner man this morning? Or has the past weeks and months left you beat up, left you at a place where you're lacking faith, where you don't feel too strong? This is what Paul was dealing with. This is what Paul was praying for his people. Where are you this morning? Do you need that strengthening of faith? Because Paul's going to go on through this prayer to tell us how we get there. He also says it's about love. Again, an aspect of our inner person. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love. Right? What a beautiful image of strength. Right? Taking the idea of love and applying it, first of all, to an image of a tree that's got deep roots sunk into the ground and has strength because those roots go down deep. That love gives us strength, and the love needs to increase. And also that it's grounded in love. This idea of both being grounded is a picture of a building that has a strong, secure foundation, a building that can withstand the elements, the wind, the rain, the floods. That love works itself in that way, that it gives strength to our inner being. Where's your love this morning? How do you feel on the inside? Do you feel love? Do you feel rooted and grounded in that love? If you're feeling weak there, then there's an idea that you're not tapping into one who loves you dearly, because his love is infinite. His love is inexhaustible. So where's our love this morning? How strong are we in our inner beings this morning? And finally, he talks about knowledge, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And so part of who we are on the inner man, the inner being, is our mind and our thinking. And he wants our thinking to be strong. He wants our thinking to be godly. How are we this morning? Are we thinking godly thoughts? Is our mind strong this morning in God? Is it sitting on his word? Is it meditating on thoughts that are pleasing to him? Is it focused on where it should be? Is it strong? Paul prays for the strengthening of the inner lives of the church. And that's what we're praying for here at West London Alliance. This is where we're getting to with this Stronger Together series. We're talking about strength of the inner person, the fortifying and the growing and the vitality of the spiritual life. That's what we want here at West London Alliance. This is what is going to make us stronger together. I mean, we can all start an exercise program and start lifting weights, but we're not doing tug-of-wars with anyone. We're not having a wrestling tournament with anyone. That would be of some value because we'd be healthier. But what we want to focus on is strength on the inner man. I've been around some incredibly strong men, some big, powerful, strong men. I worked with them. Guys who could grab another human being and throw them across the room. They were strong in their bodies, but they were weak on the inside. These were men who couldn't keep their marital commitments to their wives. And I saw how weak they were. I'd see them being on the field, being powerful, being in the weight room, being incredibly strong, but then in their other lives being weaklings. They were men who were too weak to say no to temptations of drugs or alcohol and abuse them. And in many cases, ruin their lives. Strong on the outer man, but weak on the inside. Where are you this morning on the inside? Are you strong? Are you healthy? Is there vitality? Or are you feeling weak? Are you feeling beat up? We want to be strong. We want to be strong on the inside. And Paul, through this prayer, indicates how we get there. One of the ways he indicates we get there of being stronger is this idea of togetherness. Paul's prayer, we have to understand, is for a group of people. The book was written to a group of people. The prayer is for a group of people. And so one of the things Paul says through this is that we're talking about a community. And that brings strength. He says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth are named. And so he starts his prayer off with this idea of mankind. And there's an indication there that he's saying, you know what, we're all connected. Right? There's something about being human that means being in community. And he starts with this very broad idea of mankind in general. It made me think of some verses written by John Donne. John Donne is most known because he was a poet, but he was also a priest. And he was a priest during the time of the Black Plague in England. And one day when he was sitting in his office preparing his sermon for the coming Sunday, he heard the bells of the church ringing. Now, the bells of the church would ring at certain times of the day, which could be predicted, but this was at a time when he wasn't expecting it. And during the Black Plague, when someone succumbed to the plague and died, they would ring the church bells. And so as he's sitting in his office preparing his sermon, he hears the church bell ringing. And he wonders to himself, I wonder who that bell is ringing for. Or in the way he actually said it, for whom does the bell toll? And he wrote these words. He said, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thy own were. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And so John Donne recognized there is a family of mankind and that we're all connected. And this is where Paul starts off. He gets the people's minds as he's praying on this idea of connectedness. But he doesn't leave it out there in terms of that general idea. He starts to focus the idea more as he prays. And he moves from that idea of the community of mankind, and he refers to the saints. He says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. And so he connects the people in Ephesus into a large community, a community of people who have put their faith in Christ, a people who are believers. And he says, I'm praying for you. You're part of that group. There's community there. And I want you to think about your connectedness. And so he keeps focusing it. And he goes one more level of focus and concentration. He says, this is about you people who gather together in Ephesus. He says, you be strengthened, your inner being, and your hearts. Paul's talking specifically to those people at the church in Ephesus, a church just like West London Alliance, a church of people from all sorts of different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic areas, different histories. He's saying, I'm talking to you as a group. And so he focuses it right down from the connectedness of humanity to the connectedness of those who believe in Christ, to the connectedness and togetherness of those who meet in a local church. And he's looking for them to be strengthened. the context of strengthening, the context of really everything in the New Testament as it pertains to how we walk out the Christian life is one of community. Our belief in Christ happens on an individual level. But when we are born again, we are born again into a community. And after that, the community is always part of the discussion. As Christ followers, the expectation, as the Bible lays it out, both explicitly, stated directly, and implicitly, inferred indirectly, is that we will be part of a local group of believers. And that's the idea we're talking about this morning, stronger together. The togetherness is important. And if we want the strength, we need the togetherness. We need to have those two things. And Paul, as he prays for strength, recognizes that and indicates it. Paul prays for strengthening, but he prays for the strengthening of a group of people. He does not pray for the do-it-yourselfers, the people who are thinking, it's me and it's God and we'll make it. You know, just us. He's not doing it for the Lone Ranger Christians who think that they walk this world and their journey of faith by themselves. He's talking to the church. And he expects people to be part of a church. And so we have this idea of being stronger and together, which leads us really to the focal point, I hope the focal point of all these messages. I've said it time and again that it's not about us and our own strength coming together and being stronger. It's not about us working within ourselves, pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and being strong together. That the foundation to all of this and the centerpiece of all of this is God. And Paul suggests the same thing. We are only stronger together in God. Now, I'm an English teacher. And after we were set up and ready to go with this sermon, this particular line, we are only stronger together in God, really bothered me. Because if one of my students handed that line in an essay, I'd get the red pen out and circle it. Because it's unclear what that sentence means. Do I mean that the only thing that we get by being in God is stronger together? No, we get a lot more than that. Every good thing we have comes because we're in God, becomes because of God. So really, it should say, we are stronger together only in God. So the emphasis is on God, not on stronger together. If the emphasis becomes on stronger together, then we'll get weaker. But if the emphasis is on only God, then as we are together, we will be stronger. And so, perhaps scratch it out on your insert and say, we are stronger together only in God. Our strength comes from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In November, I hope to do a couple sermons on the Trinity. And this is a beautiful piece of scripture which points to the Trinitarian God, the three God, or three persons, one God. It points to it here by mentioning all three. He starts by the Father, as we have mentioned. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened. So this strength that we're looking from is a strength that is derived from who we are in God. He's foundational to this strength. It's interesting, God names us. Paul says, God names us. And the reason He names us is because He's our Creator. He created us and He names us. And so our strength doesn't originate from ourselves. It originates from Him, the all-powerful, sovereign God. As the Creator, He owns everything. He owns everything. If He ever felt like there was a shortage of something, He could just create it out of nothing. He's the type of God who, as Paul indicates, has riches. And from the riches of who He is, the abundance of who He is, He can strengthen us without measure. He is the source of our strength, and that source is inexhaustible. And so our strength comes only in God. But it is a strength that is derived from who we are in the Spirit. It is the Spirit who strengthens us with power. Through the Spirit, the prayer says. And so the Spirit is the one who applies the riches of God to our lives so that we're strengthened. It's the Spirit who enables us, or enables Christ to live in our hearts. And so it's through the Spirit that we're strengthened. To be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And so we see the first two members of the Trinity anyways here, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. This is where our power comes from. And then Paul continues. And Paul indicates that the strength that we have individually as we first come to know Christ, but collectively after that, comes from our connection with Jesus Christ. And it's only insofar as we're connected with Christ that we can be strong. That God has inexhaustible riches. He has all sorts of resources with which to strengthen you. And the Holy Spirit is His means of applying that to every person that is who puts their faith in Christ. And so our union with Christ becomes the focal point of this strengthening. And it's only in union with Christ that we can be strengthened together. The union with Christ is the core of our salvation. Everything involved in the fullness and vitality and strength of our salvation flows from our union with Christ. I want to look at that in four ways. First of all, Ephesians 1:3 suggests that every spiritual blessing flows from our union with Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every one of them. If you're here this morning and you feel strong in the inner being, if you feel like your walk is solid and that you're secure and your faith is strong, you feel that rooted and grounded in love, it's only because you are in Christ that you feel that way. And if you're here this morning and you're not feeling that way, you're feeling vulnerable and you're feeling weak, it's in Christ that you find strength. Your union with Him can provide you the strength you need. It can only be found in Him. We also find out in 2 Timothy 2:10 that our very salvation flows from our union with Christ. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Salvation itself is only found in union with Christ. When we're in union with Christ, then His perfect life lived, His death for the cross, on the cross for our sins, and His resurrection power becomes available to us because we are in Him. So our salvation is only in Christ. Our completeness in grace comes from our union with Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority." Are you feeling filled this morning with the blessings of God? Are you feeling strong as those blessings come at you? They come because of your union with Christ. Everything we need is in Christ, and thus comes through union with Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption." Even those four things alone, think of those being solid and secure and strong in your life. Wisdom from God. You want to feel strong? How about having the wisdom of God? Or righteousness. Being in a position where you stand before God and He declares you righteous. Or sanctification, the growing in Christ's likeness as we go through life. And ultimately, everything, redemption. All of these things flow from our union with Christ. And so we need to know that if we are to be stronger together, it's only in God. And it's only in God if we have union with Christ, if we're connected to Christ. And so I want to talk to people this morning who maybe would say, you know what, I don't have that union with Christ. I don't have a relationship with Christ. You need to understand that we want to be stronger together, and we're happy you're here. And we want you to be here and feel welcome. And we want to love you, and we want to treat you with respect and do nice things for you and be kind and be gracious. But the greatest thing we can do for you is tell you all of these things are available in Christ. And apart from Christ, they're not available. If you come regularly and feel like you're part of this group, and yet you never come to a place where you have that union with Christ, where you put your faith in Him, then you're not getting stronger. And ultimately, you'll realize you're not together. And so we want that for you. We want you to look to Christ for your strengthening of your inner man. We want you to believe in Him as the Son of God and put your faith in Him. Because it's only in union through Him that all of these blessings are available. They can only come to us through Christ. So if you are here this morning, I plead with you, consider putting your faith in Christ. If you need to understand that better, if you would say, yeah, I think that's where I'm at, but I need to talk to someone, there's lots of people here who would love to talk to you. The staff here, any one of them would be happy to talk to you about that. You'll catch some of us in the foyer afterwards. If you're having trouble finding us, go to the kiosk in the South Foyer. They'll bring you to us. And either today or sometime this week, we would love to discuss that with you, because it's only in union with Christ that we are strengthened. Paul ends off this prayer in a beautiful way. And it really culminates the last 5 weeks when we talk about being stronger together and what that means. The strength we are looking for is found in God. And Paul says, as he prays this prayer, he is praying that you, individually you, but you as a group, us as West London Alliance, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, that blows my mind. That, in some ways, that doesn't even make sense. Because we know that God is infinite. And His fullness goes beyond our comprehension. And yet Paul says, I want you to be filled with that. How does that work? I'm not sure, but it sounds amazing. To be filled with the fullness of God. And remember, that happens in the context of a group. So as we've talked about being stronger together, we have not put our focus, and we continue not to put our focus on a bunch of people trying to do it ourselves. We put our focus on a God whose strength is immeasurable, whose love is unfathomable, who sent His Son to die for us so that we could be in union with Him and avail of ourselves of that strength, and we do that together. And so that's how we are stronger together at West London Alliance. We're stronger together because of our union with Christ, as we are filled with the fullness of who God is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that in a wonderful way that I can't even conceive, that we can't fathom, You fill us with Your fullness. We know You do that because we are in Christ, and we thank You for calling us and saving us. I pray, Father God, for anyone this morning who doesn't know You, that, Father God, they would avail themselves of Your great love for them, that they would recognize Your Son, that they would repent of their sins and put their faith in Him, that they would be found in Him. And I pray for this church. I pray that You would help us to be stronger together in You, that You would fill us collectively with Your fullness, that we would be in union with You and with Your Son and be strengthened from that and strengthened in the process of living life together as a church that seeks to make Your greatness known. It is only through You that we can do this. And so we ask for that grace this morning. In Jesus' name.